Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin Cowherd on the iHeartRadio app on Fox Sports Radio. Got a ball game on Fox Sports 1. Braves, Marlins. Oh, I got Adam Amin and AJ Pierzynski and Adam Wainwright. Good little battery with Waino and Pierzynski. I got a lot to get to. Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter, Yahoo Sports, will join us. Boy, sure it seems like things spiraled out of control quickly in Houston. Did Dwayne Haskins get a bad deal? We'll ask Charles Robinson. We have a great best for last, and it does revolve around. A matter of fact, I'll throw it out to you, and you can send me your list. Dwayne Haskins was wearing white pants yesterday, and it's not just, I know comedians, white pants after Labor Day is a no-go. But it's the idea, on a day in which he gets benched, you look out at the Redskins practice field, and every other player has red pants on, or, as they say at times, red britches on. He's got white pants on. And if you've ever coached or been around a high-level sports team, there are things that players do, especially when they're working their way towards the doghouse, which just drives guys crazy, coaches crazy. And that's one of them. That's part of our best for last later on this hour. You know, tonight we're going to see Tom Brady on Fox. Brady, the Buccaneers, taking on the Bears, Soldier Field. Nick Foles, yes, there will be at least a mention of Philly Special. He was the quarterback of the Eagles. And, oh yeah, by the way, John DeFilippo, who's his quarterback coach, was, I think, his quarterback coach when he was in Philadelphia. Matt Nagy has coached him before. Bill Lazor, who's his offensive coordinator, has coached him before. So, you know, look, there's a lot of knowledge of system, knowledge of Foles. But the Bears are coming off of what I think anyone would deem to be a bit of an embarrassing performance in their loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Out-physicaled, outplayed. Just the Colts were ready and a really active defense, and the Bears were not. We'll see how they bounce back on a short week. Meanwhile, you got the Buccaneers, who are down double digits. They get a gift and a turnover from the Chargers, and they come back and get a big win. And for the first time, it looks like Tom Brady's team. You know, Brady's trusting teammates, letting her rip, and they're making plays for him. And I was thinking about what we're likely to see from LeBron tomorrow night, what we're likely to see from Tom Brady tonight are one and the same. You know, there's this sports continuum, right? And at one end of the continuum, you have athletic ability. At the other, you have whatever sport you are, IQ. And the more you play, like, look, some guys have a naturally intuitive way. They're more curious and intelligent. And it's not like they begin their NFL career, their Major League Baseball career, their NBA career as a sports Neanderthal. But I think, do we have the Mark Cuban sound? Like, Mark Cuban said on, like, Etan Thomas has a podcast, and he said, like, look, LeBron James is night and day different as a basketball player now and when they played him in the finals with the Dallas Mavericks. Right, that was 2011, I believe. Right, check my years. That 2011 they played. And what Cuban was saying was, you know, like, back then you'd throw a zone at him and he didn't know what to do. Now he just reads, deciphers, and just picks you apart. Like, his basketball IQ is off the charts. Tom Brady, you get 20 years of starting quarterback in the NFL. You've seen just about every scheme, every tell. You know all these coordinators. And even if you don't know the coordinator, usually the coordinator came from another football family, and you know what their tendencies are. And you got, plus you've been doing a lot of film work. There are no more surprises when you get to their age. You're at the close to the end of that part of the sports continuum. The question is, do you have the athletic ability still to make plays? And this is where the true genius comes in. The sacrifice of ego. The, hey, I need some help here. Right? When you're young, you're like, I can do this thing myself. Just get anybody out there. Give me four wide. Snap the football. I'll pick you apart. And I'll throw you open. What was the main reason that Tom Brady left the New England Patriots? Remember what Giselle said when they lost to the Giants the second time in the Super Bowl? My husband cannot do it all himself. Remember that? In that video? She's right. And the older you get, the more help you need. It doesn't mean you still can't lead a championship drive down the football field, as he did against the Rams. Should be pointed out that against the Eagles, they didn't punt. Brady had a big fumble at the end of the game. They had the football, a chance to win the game, and they did not. He made a bad read. So he's not perfect. But at 43 years old, he knows, I need some guys to make plays. I need to find the best playmakers and get them to football. In the simplest fashion, the way in which I know how to do it best. And really, that's how LeBron is playing now. Like, LeBron has fed not just Anthony Davis the basketball, but his ego the entire season. And it allows Anthony Davis to, at times, carry the team the entire game, or at least through the first three quarters. And then LeBron still has that ability to take over late. And you know what? I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen tomorrow in the NBA Finals. Everybody's tired. Everybody's ready to go home. Everybody. They're just like, done. Season's done. Series is done. It's just formality. I'm ready to go. Who's going to make the shots? LeBron is. He is. He's not the world's greatest shooter. He's not the greatest world's greatest free throw shooter. But in closeout games, he's been unbelievable. And he's not holding back. He's just pacing himself, much like he does during most of these games. When he sees a window, he'll score two, three, four buckets in a row and then go back to just reading the defense, picking it apart, finding ways to get other guys involved. Brady and LeBron are more similar than you think in that they both reach this place where, whether it's sacrifice of ego, whatever it is, they're able to still dial it up and deliver at times. But they also know they can't do it all the time, so they need help with it. And they allow that help to be a part of what they're doing. That's true sports genius. That's true intelligence anywhere. Knowing enough to know what you don't know, that's a sign of an intelligent man. That's what smart people do. Nobody knows everything. And knowing enough to know what you can't do, you can't carry your team on your own, that's a sign of a great athlete. I can't do it without a defense. I can't do it without great playmakers. And the same is true for LeBron. How is that team built? They're a great defensive team, and he's got just enough playmakers to help him make plays until it's LeBron time and he can take over. And not always taking over for him is scoring. Sometimes it's passing as well. So I think that both, while close to the end of that athletic talent portion of the continuum, like at some point we've seen LeBron age a little bit here. He doesn't have the same explosiveness all the time, but he's still kind of just an amazing freak of nature. Tom Brady the same. There are times in which the ball doesn't come off the same. It takes him a while to get his engine going in games. He's not great on opening drives. Collins pointed out, not great open, but he has this incredible football IQ, incredible ability to deliver. He's seen it all, done it all. So he knows if you just get him to the fourth quarter, that the competitiveness, the juices start flowing. He can just make plays. But just like the smart man knows enough to know what he doesn't know, the super talented athlete knows enough to know what he can't provide and find somebody else or some other people who can provide that until he can dial up just enough talent still to win that game. Will the Cowboys make a coaching change to turn their season around? Find out next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech is more than a grill. They're a lifestyle. It's smart grill technology, which allows for even heat. You can't go wrong. RecTech, built by grillers for grillers. Go to RecTechWithAQ.com. That's RECTEQ.com. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Let's get to Charles Robinson. He joins us, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. You should follow him. He's also got a tremendous podcast covering the National Football League. And let's start with the news of the week with the Houston Texans. Okay, so they're going to go through the process of hiring a GM before they hire a coach. But obviously things went really wrong for Bill O'Brien, a lot of confrontations late. I'm wondering where Deshaun Watson is in this whole thing.
Well, I mean, I think he's the primary concern. You know, I think it's they know that this is the next 10 years of their franchise is Deshaun Watson. I mean, they've committed to paying him. You know, they've committed to him anchoring and being the centerpiece of that roster moving forward. You know, J.J. Watt, I think, you know, still has some gas in the tank, but he's in the winter of his career. And you know, I think part of the complication with Bill O'Brien, although, you know, I think he was at loggerheads with Watt, I also think there was concern that, you know, although DeAndre Hopkins was not going to really fit into the picture from a salary standpoint, and that was part of that decision, I do think that it hit Deshaun Watson sideways. And I don't think he completely has gotten over that, knowing that, you know, this was a very close confidant of his. This was clearly the elite receiver on their roster, and he's not stupid. He sees what, you know, Hopkins is doing elsewhere. So I do think that he's somebody that is going to, you know, be in heavy consideration when not only the general manager job's filled, but the head coaching job. I don't know that Deshaun Watson would weigh in on it, but I think it'd be similar to sort of the Jared Goff situation when Sean McVay was hired in Los Angeles. The question was, you know, hey, are you on board with this guy? Because we are. And, you know, it's going to be important that as a general manager and a head coach, whoever comes in is invested in this being the guy that is going to be the center of whatever, you know, blueprint you have moving forward. There can't be any question whatsoever about that, because Deshaun Watson's got the bag. He's got every bag that existed. He's not going anywhere. And the two most important factors for anybody coming in is being able to work with the owner, Cal McNair, and the marquee quarterback that's already on the roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people knee jerk and say, oh, hey, look at Kansas City. You know, they got Eric Bieniemy. I'm interested in, like, everyone hires people they know, right? That's
right.
Generally how it works here. I mean, that's the reason Kyle Allen really is the starting quarterback right now for the Washington football team. I want to get to that in a second.
Sure.
But there's trust there with Scott Turner in the offense because he was there running it last year, right? People hire somebody they know. You have other former Patriot guys in that front office in Houston. Does Josh McDaniels become the guy? Or what about Byron Leftwich if Tom Brady signs off on him? Are they more likely candidates because of their work with quarterbacks?
Well, yeah, as you said, Jack Easterby is going to be, you know, influential in this process. And, you know, obviously Jack Easterby is a guy that came over from New England, you know, had a little bit of a burned sort of bridge, you know, after, you know, attempting to woo Nick Caserio and the Kraft family taking umbrage to how that whole thing went down and all this. So I think that it adds a little bit of static to the whole idea of Josh McDaniels. I mean, I am sure I can tell you, I don't think the Kraft family would be super excited to see Josh McDaniels get wooed to Houston through Jack Easterby, knowing how they feel about Jack Easterby. I don't think they have positive feelings toward him. And so I'd be curious to know if, you know, the Kraft family would try to influence that in some way, shape, or form. But the reality is, if Josh McDaniels wants that job and Jack Easterby is influential and can convince Cal McNair that Josh McDaniels is a viable candidate for that job, and is the best person to work with Deshaun Watson, you know, I have no doubt that there would be mutual interest there. Josh McDaniels' camp has been very good at making sure he's involved in any prominent jobs that come up, even after the disaster in Indianapolis. But interestingly enough, with Indianapolis, you look at that situation and he kind of has a feather in his cap, because when he, you know, blew up the head coaching position there and left, he gave them the gift of Matt Eberflus. He hired Matt Eberflus before he backed out of the Indianapolis Colts job, and Eberflus is going to be a head coaching candidate in the NFL. He's going to be a hot head coaching candidate in the NFL this offseason. He was last offseason. And so, you know, the thought process for a Cal McNair, and I'm sure Jack Easterby, if you know, they're as close as they're rumored to be, Easterby and McDaniels, one of the things that Easterby is going to say to Cal McNair is, hey, look, this guy's worked with Tom Brady. Now he's worked with Cam Newton. You've seen him work with different styles of quarterbacks. It's going well with Cam Newton now. If that continues, you know, through the remainder of the season, that's going to show, you know, Josh McDaniels' flexibility of working with, hey, a pocket quarterback and a guy who's, you know, more in line in Cam Newton with where the quarterback position is going in the NFL. And oh, by the way, he hired a defensive coordinator in Indianapolis who has suddenly surfaced as sort of this year's Robert Saleh, like one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. So, you know, I could see McDaniels being an attractive candidate. I could see Eric Bieniemy, you know, Leftwich. A lot of offensive-minded guys, I think, will be, you know, at the very top of that search list. But I would warn anyone that not just to assume that because Easterby and McDaniels have a connection that that's going to be an automatic fit. The thing about Cal McNair, this is his defining moment. No one really knows what Cal McNair is all about. Everybody knew what Bob McNair was. So this is sort of where he makes his bones as you know, the owner of that team, the outright owner of the Houston Texans. This hire is going to be a really, really big deal. And I do think that he understands it's all about making sure that the person that comes in is the perfect fit for Deshaun Watson.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd. Charles Robinson is our guest senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. Cowboys defense is bad, bad. Some are pointing to Mike Nolan. Just there's a reason he hadn't been a coordinator, considered to be a coordinator. Some are saying it's the players and there's effort not buying in. Some are saying it's a bad fit, the 3-4 system. How do they go about fixing it in Dallas?
Well, I think it's a combination. I really do. Like, I don't think it's any one thing. I think, you know, as you said, Mike Nolan, his last stint as defensive coordinator in Atlanta did not go well. You know, and by the way, it wasn't a 1-year thing. I mean, he had 3 years to kind of, you know, adjust the system to the players adjust to the system, or, you know, the front office to pick the right guys for Mike Nolan to operate with, and it just never clicked. And, you know, so when Mike Nolan lands in Dallas, it raised some eyebrows because, you know, some people are like, okay, well, obviously Mike McCarthy was his former OC in San Francisco when Mike Nolan was the head coach. Is this, you know, one friend paying back another kind of situation? Well, that sure hasn't gone well now because, as you said, they tanked. They're terrible. And I think there are a few different things going on here. I think what Mike Nolan brings in is complicated. You know, it's a defensive system that's multiple, and that's what Mike McCarthy, the head coach, wants. He wants some complication. He wants some ability to change up with, you know, the skill of their personnel, but also, you know, the design of the opponent. And, you know, that's what, like, New England's done so well, being sort of a little bit of a chameleon. The problem is, I don't know that the Dallas roster, the players that are currently there, are necessarily the right fit for this defense. And you have a guy like Jalen Smith has really struggled, I think, at times, even though they keep backing him every time they talk. Jalen Smith needs Leighton Vander Esch on the field. Sean Lee being healthy, you know, and you know, being a viable rotational option would probably help Jalen Smith as well. And I think he's been exposed a little bit by being out there by himself without those guys. And then you have like Xavier Woods at safety, who, you know, does not look comfortable in the scheme. Does not, you know, they felt good about him as a player, and he appears to have regressed a little bit inside this. And I think the thing that's alarming to me is Alden Smith's their best defensive player. This guy hasn't been on the field in 4 years. Yes. He hasn't played in the NFL in 4 years, and he's your best defensive player. that's there's a silver lining to that. You got him cheap. You brought him in. You know, great, good for you. But DeMarcus Lawrence is your highest paid defensive player. You have to find a way to make that guy as effective in this system as possible. He's been good. I mean, he's been okay. Like, I think people are down on him because of the sack situation. But when you talk to pro personnel guys who are watching, you know, film on Dallas and preparing for him, Lawrence is still having an impact. And so I think it's just the sack numbers out there. Whatever the case is, they have to figure it out. If it's the personnel, if it's the players not buying in, whatever it is, it's on now Mike McCarthy to make sure they get this dialed in. Right. Because as much as Jerry Jones is saying, hey, look, it's not time to, you know, we're not going to make a change. We're not panicking here or anything. That's fine. But you're a month in. You get to the midway point, you get to the three-quarter pole, and this is still going on. There will be a change at defensive coordinator in the offseason. I don't have any question about that. This won't be sustained for a full year.
Charles Robinson, our guest, senior NFL reporter, Yahoo Sports. I tweeted something in February, and people lost their mind. It was that somebody close to the former staff said they were so in with the Washington football team that they couldn't figure out why Dwayne Haskins struggled so much, not just with the playbook, but to get plays out. And anybody knows the Gruden boys system, it's not exactly easy, right? It's tough right. on quarterbacks. But they struggled so much that they actually asked themselves and went and looked like through his charts, like, is he dyslexic? Are we missing something here? Because it's not like he's not intelligent. It's just something's missing in terms of his ability to grasp the entirety of the playbook and take command of a huddle. Urban Meyer said he wasn't ready. He said it on this show. And, you know, you got Doug Williams, again, right about the time I tweeted it, saying, like, he's got to do more than just kind of gallivant around, like, I'm a starting quarterback of the Redskins, and lock in. Four games in, it's not just that he got demoted yesterday. Like, they got him his third string. He wasn't even taking snaps right. yesterday. What happened with Washington?
Well, I think there is, What first off, you know, to be fair to Haskins, what he went through, you know, his first year in Washington is like the worst possible situation. Like, it is a terrible, I mean, it's a train wreck. You know, you had Bruce Allen, you know, who was, I mean, everybody wanted him out of the franchise. You had Jay Gruden, who, you know, has the unceremonious ending, weird stuff, you know, video pops up all of a sudden weirdly, like right before he gets fired, like just all kinds of weird, nasty stuff that, frankly, there's been a little bit of a history in Washington sort of happened around Dwayne Haskins. Not the greatest environment, frankly, for, you know, hey, here's this quarterback that the owner loves. Maybe the head coach hasn't fully bought into. And, you know, you're trying to get things right around this guy. And by the way, I'll say this about Haskins. Like, this isn't the first time they've had sort of a train wreck situation in terms of drama at quarterback. RG3 and Kirk Cousins and, oh, by the way, Colt McCoy was a mess for years.
Right.
Like, even when Kirk Cousins was putting up numbers, there was someone inside that organization with regularity who was talking anonymously about Colt McCoy and pushing Colt McCoy. And it used to drive Kirk Cousins nuts. The quarterback room was bad, you know, with RG3. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm going, well, you know, I'm not going to put this all on Haskins because, frankly, it's sort of been a poisoned environment there for a long time. Now, Ron Rivera, it should be different because it's a new staff. He gets a fresh start. But here's the thing. Ron Rivera also, they went and got Kyle Allen. As you said, there's familiarity, scheme familiarity there. And Ron Rivera wanted another option. And, oh, by the way, Alex Smith continues to press himself, you know, in that situation, continues to say, hey, I think I can be a viable guy. I think I can be healthy again. And you know, he gets out there and he takes snaps. And frankly, the staff was like, you know, like, hey, like, this guy is really, you know, he has exceeded by far our wildest expectations about whether or not he can still be more than just a guy in the quarterback room. Maybe this guy can still factor on this team. That's part of why Alex Smith is a backup now. And now the other end of it, I will say this about Haskins. What Urban Meyer said about him not being prepared, the feeling was amongst other franchises that talked to him, you know, going through that draft process was, okay, he needs to mature as a leader. He needs to mature as a player. He needs to mature as someone who's preparing, like, a lot of different things. They said, look, there's going to be a growth arc with him, and somebody's going to have to be patient. I think he went to the wrong franchise for that, frankly. And, you know, so it's does he have to do something? Does he have to prepare harder? Does he have to? I don't know. Like, I mean, Washington needs to come out and say what maybe some of the issues are, rather than just demoting the guy to third string and then sort of letting it hang there, because that's not good for him either. There's a lot of sort of fill in the blanks that end up taking place. Do I think that, you know, he probably has a ways to go in terms of, hey, maturing as a leader and some of these other things? Sure, but he's also 23 years old, and there are other quarterbacks who come in the league, and there's a little bit of a chasm before they get where they need to be. And so I don't want to just heap dirt on the guy already, you know. But I think what really is important there, and this should be the whole storyline around him, is someone needs to say to him, it's about how you respond now. Like they've done.
Well, like here's my thing. Like, I don't know if you saw the video, but I'm going to talk about this later. If you look at the video yesterday, he's got white pants on. Everybody else at practice has red pants on. Now, look, right. To somebody outside of sports, you're like, what's the big deal? Is he wearing football pants? Has he got a cup on, right? Has he got a helmet? He's good. But, you know, when you just got demoted and your leadership's in question, and why are you wearing white pants when everybody else has got red pants on? Like, nothing irritates coaches, especially when you have no equity with these coaches, more than something as simple as what color pants you have on.
And there's the complication too, is that because of everything, what just occurred with him and the demotion now makes every single thing he does
correct
becomes a news item.
Yeah.
And that's also something someone needs to say to him is, listen, if you are not fully and entirely on your P's and Q's, if it feels like there's, you know, some lack of buy-in on your part or whatever, that is going to get savaged. It's going to be out there everywhere. Every single thing you do, every camera trained on you is going to, you know, catch you when you're not smiling, when you're not this, when you're not that. And every bit of your body language becomes a piece of news. And so, you know, this is part of, you know, I hope he has good advisement. You know, I hope that, you know, David Mulugeta is a respected agent. I hope David Mulugeta is telling him, look, man, this might not be a fair situation, might not be a great situation. Things have gone bad, but here's how this is going to project forward. And maybe you are going to go elsewhere. So let's think about this.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, David Mulugeta, that was a mistake. He should not have tweeted out last Saturday about everybody else in the organization. Like, you can't. Like, regardless of what the coach says, for people who don't know, you know, Ron Rivera last week said, you know, basically he was on a short leash. He's got to get, you know, that he has no ties to the quarterback, that, you know, that he's considering making a change and he's got to get better. And Mulugeta, who's the agent, tweeted out basically like the organization, he's not everybody else has to get better. Like, what are you doing? That is not, and I know you're protecting your guy and think
right.
But to air it publicly is a major mistake, because now you're challenging Ron Rivera, and Ron Rivera's like, look, I've been doing this a long time. I've been to a Super Bowl. What are you know, why are you questioning me?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand that, but that's also on brand. I mean, David Mulugeta very much protects his guys. He very much is out. He's, you know, Jalen Ramsey. You know, there've been a number of guys that he represents, you know, a number of massive, you know, sort of clients who are at the center of a team's orbit. I get that. I understand that. And, you know, that's fine. I think it's completely fair, to debate that. And, you know, I also think there's probably an element of maybe him also showing Dwayne Haskins, like, hey, the world's coming down on you right now.
I got
now.
Your back.
I'm still in your corner.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm out
you.
Here fighting for you.
What's the league going to do about Tennessee? You got another couple positive tests today. Plus, they had this practice they weren't supposed to have at a park after they shut down the facility. What's going to happen there?
Right. It's not good. It is not good. You know, I had a chance to talk to a couple of guys that were on the inside of the whole investigation, this joint investigation between the NFL and the NFLPA. And I mean, I was flat out told, like, look, those two, the NFL and the NFLPA jointly agree. They feel like they found, you know, protocol violations, you know, COVID-19 protocol violations that occurred before the Minnesota Vikings game, which, you know, the linebackers coach had tested positive on that Saturday, and the outbreak comes out, you know, it's really never ended since that game. And, you know, Roger Goodell had a conference call on Monday, talked to a couple of general managers who were on that conference call who felt like, hey, it was pretty pointed. Like, clearly the Tennessee Titans were in the crosshairs of Roger in the league when, you know, there were slides that were put out of like players without PPE, like I think like in a team cafeteria or whatever. And Roger was making a point about like, hey, this is a very big Tennessee Titans problem. We do not want this happening in other, you know, organizations, and we're going to air it out. Like, and so I think the Titans are going to get hit. I think there's going to be, you know, I was told, look, it's one source literally said to me, it's not about if, it's when, and how harsh the league decides to be in the punishment. But I don't think they feel any proclivity to hold back on this one, because there's frankly support in a number of corners in the NFL where when you talk to people in front offices, they're like, look, if they were blowing off, you know, or not taking this seriously, and this occurred because of that, and oh, by the way, the schedule got disrupted, like, people feel like they should get hammered. Other general managers, other head coaches.
But what do you do with Kansas City, though? As of right now, Kansas City is going to play, what, 3 games in 11 days? Like, it had the ripple effects on other teams is really interesting. Like,
the Steelers didn't get a bye week. The Steelers completely lost the bye week because of this. They literally, hey, they had a week 4 bye. No, they didn't. They spent week 4 preparing for a game that didn't happen. And so now, and then you take their bye week later, and now they're going to go through a COVID season without any chance of checking out for a week, which is the bye weeks are going to be important this year because people are going to need a mental reset, you know, for a couple of days in organizations, and the Steelers aren't going to get that. So they're pissed too. And I get that. But here's the thing. When this all started, the league and the union were pretty clear with not only the players, but the teams, the owners, the coaches, the general managers. People are going to get screwed. Like, it's going to happen. Like, there are going to be some teams where this is not the most fair environment, and we're all in it together. It's not going to be fair and equitable. You fight through it. And this is why I told people at the beginning of the season, if this goes 17 weeks, they get the full 17 weeks off and they get a playoff and boom, there's a Super Bowl. And it's like a normal season under pandemic conditions. I'm telling you, it's the greatest Super Bowl any franchise will ever win because it's under the most ridiculously difficult conditions and constant stress, and to be able to pull that off in this plus opt-outs is absolutely unbelievable. And the Patriots are a prime example, because I'm going to tell you right now, I have heard nothing. Like, everybody knows the Patriots, people inside the Patriots, even other teams are like, hey, everything we've heard about the Patriots, they've really, really been strict about all this stuff. And they still, you know, had Cam Newton come down. They still had Stephon Gilmore.
Right. They're two best players. Right. They're two best players come down. It's not like the backup kicker. It's their quarterback.
No, I mean, like,
and their best
Cam
player.
Cam Newton off to a great start. Probably, you know, was going to be in some element of the MVP conversation. Yes. Stephon Gilmore, who last year was basically defensive player of the year the entire season.
Yeah. Charles, we got to run. Great stuff as always. Check out his podcast. Read his work at Yahoo Sports. Charles Robinson. Charles, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me, Doug. Stay safe, man.
All right, coming up next, it's the little things that always matter, especially in sports. I'll prove it to you next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance, lasting 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades only available at Walmart. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Let's get to the Herdline News.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herdline News.
John Goulet, what do you got?
So yesterday, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson missed practice for what was called precautionary reasons because of a knee injury. Nothing serious. Today, Lamar Jackson missed practice again, which is the first time in his career he's missed back-to-back practices. The Ravens host the Bengals on Sunday. Back-to-back practices this early in the season generally means he's injured. Not saying he's not going to play. He's expected to play. But that means he has an injury. He's a running quarterback, and a knee injury could be a problem. Is this something to worry about, or is this nothing?
Yes, it's something to worry about. It makes my son very happy because he's been singing the praises of Trace McSorley, his backup, for weeks now. It's like, Dad, we got to get Trace McSorley. I was like, he's the backup to Lamar Jackson. Trace McSorley is awesome.
RG3 is the backup to Lamar Jackson.
Is Trace McSorley there too?
Maybe, but RG3 has been getting the snaps in practice and comes in as the backup.
So you mean to tell me my son's been selling me on Trace McSorley, who's the third-string quarterback?
I have not been keeping track of Trace McSorley. not since Penn State.
Yeah, he's third string.
Right, but RG3 has been taking the snaps.
He's going to be devastating. Anyway.
He's a running quarterback. He didn't run a ton in his last game.
No.
But
no,
you missed
look,
2 days. You know, you play. You missed 2 days in a row. You have an injury.
Yes. You're not hurt. You're injured. Right?
Right.
Yeah, look. Look, what are the two things? People were on me when I still, even last year, hadn't bought into Lamar Jackson long-term instead of Sam Darnold. And it's because the two things that hold you back, Lamar Jackson still holds you back. It's what's his accuracy like when he has to, everyone knows he has to throw third in California, right? And that style of play gets you hurt. And look, if it can get Cam Newton hurt, who's, Cam Newton is a giant of a man, 6'5", 230, 240. It's going to get Lamar Jackson hurt. And Lamar has run more than anybody in the history of the league in the at least the last 30 years in terms of volume of carries. And I understand that. Yes, I'm very concerned because his body as well as his accuracy have been the things that have limited him. It's like one of those fun while it lasted. But, man, if he's limited in any way athletically, it dramatically changes his effectiveness.
Sure. And finally, the Cowboys have been rightfully criticized for their historically bad defense through the first four games. But they may have another problem. Zeke can't hold on to the ball.
That's a problem.
He has three fumbles already, lost two of them, and that's with him getting less carries than he would normally get. It's only been four games.
Yes.
He said yesterday, quote, "I can't give up the ball anymore." Some of them, too, have come early. They've been kind of momentum killers and game changers where that's one of the reasons they get down and then start having to throw too much. How important not only is it for him to hold on to the ball, obviously, but also for them to just make him the focal point of their offense, at least early in games?
I think they've tried. I think their offensive line isn't the same, and they're struggling. And look, that's a big thing is we deal with this all the time in the media. We deal with dated information. Right? We act like, wow, Dallas' offensive line is amazing. It hasn't, one that hasn't been healthy, nope. In fairness. Right?
Lost
their center. Didn't have the tackles for a game and a half. They're starting to get healthier. So I think it's important. Look, they just need to find a way to generate points early. Play from a lead.
Yes.
So much better than playing from behind. But they do need to run the football. What the hell is the point of giving them all that money if you're not going to run the football? On the other hand, if it's not effective,
The last three guys they've paid are a running back they don't use and two defenders who can't stop anybody.
And a wide receiver who's very good, but not at the level to which I don't think Amari Cooper's level which he's paid. And that's John Gallet with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I want to do something a little bit different in the best for last. Usually we do some sort of fun, kooky list, and it gets a lot of play. This is more sports-centric. It's the best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
Have you ever been in the doghouse snuggled up with a bone? I have. And you know what you're not supposed to do? What Dwayne Haskins did yesterday. So Dwayne Haskins was a first-round pick of the Washington Redskins. His old coach, Jay Gruden, didn't want him, and never really embraced him. His new coach, Ron Rivera, didn't draft him, didn't bring him over from his former team, and has summarily benched him just four games into his career as the head coach and basically the football czar for the Washington football team. The team that doesn't have a nickname also now has a first-round draft pick. That's not the first, not the second. He's the third-string quarterback. But worse yet, Dwayne Haskins showed up at practice yesterday wearing the wrong color pants. Now, to some of you who haven't played high-level sports, maybe it's no big deal. Did he have football pants on? Yeah, it's not like he showed up naked or he decided to go shorts when everybody else is in shells and a hat. But the fact is that when you're in the doghouse, that's the time you have to show complete and total buy-in. That's the real test. You want to be a pro in this league? You got to show that you can take it. Right. What's that was said in Bull Durham? Right. You got fungus on your shower shoes. In the minors, you're colorful. In the bigs, you're a slob. When you're the backup quarterback or the third string quarterback after being the first string quarterback and the first round pick, and you're wearing white pants, You seem like an arrogant, obtuse, head in the sand, it's everybody else's fault, not mine, I'm the superstar, they'll figure it out eventually sort of guy. When the reality is, now's the time to totally buy in. You know, Colin has the backwards hat thing, and by my estimation, it's one of the more dated takes that he has. He's got a lot of great takes. He's awesome in his job. Colin's my friend. But that one, I think, is laughable because there's a reason that they put logos on the backs of hats, because most dudes wear their hat backwards at some point in time. The NFL logo, the Major League Baseball logo. I had fun one Sunday afternoon tweeting out pictures even of Russell Wilson, franchise quarterback. The love affair between Russell and Colin is long-lasting, and Russell Wilson wears his hat backwards. But what really, really signifies that I'm not a franchise quarterback is little things, right? It's like for basketball guys. If you show up and you're ready for, and everybody else is ready to practice and you're not taped, or worse yet, you're not taped and you're wearing those slides, you know, the Gucci slides or the Nike slides, instead of coming in laced up, taped up, ready to go, warmed up when the coach blows his whistle. That's what leadership looks like. And the same thing goes for being a backup quarterback. Backup quarterbacks got to be in there right when the starter's in there. Your job as a backup is to get the starter ready, not to mope, not to pout, not to be woe is me, because the only thing that's important to a football team is winning the next football game. That's why Kyle Allen's the starter, and why Dwayne Haskins is now the third string quarterback. Little things become big things. And wearing white pants when everybody else is wearing red or maroon is a little thing that is really a big thing in the minds of the coaches that have you buried underneath the bone in the doghouse. All right, we got Major League Baseball tonight. Colin's back tomorrow. Lakers are going to win their 17th championship tomorrow. LeBron's going to be awesome. We'll see what Brady does tonight. I think it's going to be a competitive game on Fox. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.